Right now, stock futures are firmly in the green, but anything can happen. I think in the Dow was like a 3,000-point swing yesterday. Again, people in the know point more to the S&P 500, a little more of a broad base, up about 1.5%. But we're still about 2 hours away from the open. Obviously, the global trade war, if you will, who knows what to call it. But it's obviously creating a lot of volatility in the markets, making a lot of people nervous. And we're really lucky to be able to access the network of Bloomberg folks. And, you know, Michael McKee has been covering financial news for a long, long time. And great to have his perspective. Michael, were you covering in 87 for that crash too?
I was actually covering the White House then. So, yes, in a tangential way, I was covering it.
And obviously, I worked at CNBC from 07 to 13. So I remember, you know, the Great Recession, and it feels a little bit different this time, although it's making some people, you know, equally nervous. I guess I wanted to start sort of, you know, broadly with your experience and what you're doing right now. I mean, how do you generally view what's happening?
It's hard to describe in a way, because this is all from an economic perspective nonsense. It doesn't make a whole lot of sense. The goal of bringing down every individual trade deficit is rather silly and also impossible. Just an identity, somebody has to have a surplus and somebody has to have a deficit. And there are different reasons for that. And then the way it's being handled is just going to make the rest of the world mad, make us poorer because we pay the tariffs, and it is going to make the rest of the world poorer. It just doesn't make any sense.
So, we're putting politics aside, and the truth is, and forget about the island that has only penguins. But generally speaking, if you're a small nation, you can't buy enough American goods to make it balanced. And China is a different issue, right? But there are some countries where it just doesn't make sense to have balanced trade anyway, as you said. But, you know, here, and it is sort of a self-made situation, but, and I do agree that there's no reason to make everyone an enemy in this type of thing. But what are the outcomes here? Like, what, because there's this tension, I guess, in the White House between like the Navarro crew and the Bessent crew or what have you. Like, is this to raise revenue? Is this to transform global trade? Like, what's an outcome that the president and the White House are going to be okay with?
Well, that's part of the problem with the whole thing, is we don't have any idea what the outcome is. At some point, they talk about we need to close the trade deficit. At other times, they talk about we need to bring down tariffs around the world. And the third argument, as you mentioned, is we need to raise revenue for the United States so we can cut taxes. Well, if you negotiate a tariff reduction, they're talking about maybe they can do something fairly quickly with Japan, then you would take the tariffs off. But if you want to raise revenue so you can cut taxes, you need to leave the tariffs on. So nobody really knows what the president's end game here is, and it makes it very hard to figure out where we go from here. In the short run, it's likely to cause recession. It definitely will push prices up. So how long can we hold out with this is the question, and it would help to know why we're doing it.
Yeah. Michael McKee from Bloomberg joining us here on Brian and Company. And again, as someone who's sort of a proud member of like upper middle class, I mean, it seems that the middle class and retirees are the ones that, you know, sort of get hit the hardest. And when billionaires tell us we need to take medicine, you know, when we're seeing these balances plummet, I mean, these are hard situations because the retail investor often, you know, sells when it's low and then buys when it's high, which is the opposite of what you want. But there's a lot of nervousness right now.
There's definitely a lot of nervousness right now. The markets had a choice of trading on whether they were afraid of inflation or afraid of slow growth and perhaps recession. And for the last few days, they've gone with the recession side. We'll see if the inflation part comes into it. People aren't as worried about that because, at least according to theory, tariffs are a one-time increase in the price level, not an ongoing increase, but it depends, of course, on how you apply them. Now we may be at a washout period where people feel we're valued for where the economy may go, but it is always possible. I mean, we're always one tweet away from reversing that.
Yeah. You know, yesterday's massive, you know, switch, you know, went from down 1,500 up 1,500 to, you know, to still down, but not nearly as bad as it could have been. How does that compare with other sort of huge volatility things you've covered in the past? You can compare it to some, you know, some of the Lehman stuff in 08, 09. But I mean, how does the energy that you're seeing compare to some other volatile moments in the market history?
Well, coming out of the Liberation Day, last Wednesday's announcement, what it reminded me most of was when the House of Representatives voted down the TARP plan in the wake of the Lehman collapse,
right,
because everybody expected it to go through and it didn't. So you had this sharp reaction in the markets, this massive drop, and nobody expected tariffs to be as high as the president put them on, or as necessarily as broad in the way he did it. So we had quite an immediate reaction there. Then yesterday, I think, was just kind of a weird situation, because the big rise came on the back of an error by a social media group that put out a strange headline based on nothing, that there was going to be a change in policy, and it just got amplified, and then all of a sudden people realized there was nothing to it. So it's not like there was a big trade mistake like the flash crash,
right,
or that there was any kind of policy there. So I'm not sure we see something like that again.
We're talking with Michael McKee, who's been at Bloomberg for over 30 years here in Bryan & Company. Again, prognostication is, you know, it's a game that, it's fun to play, but it's, you know, it's also, who knows? But everyone I talk to, you know, seems to be pulling back in some way in their lives, right? And there's a cautiousness because of the uncertainty. Do you assume that we will at some point in the next 18 months be in a recession?
I never assume, because recessions are impossible to call. They tend to happen without us planning on it, but yeah, the odds have improved, put it that way. We've already seen going into this year that Americans were starting to pull back on spending. It may be that we bought all the stuff we wanted to buy, and income growth has slowed down. The pandemic benefits have kind of been spent. So the question now is, do the people's concerns about what this might mean translate into action? We've seen big drops in consumer confidence. Do people start stopping their spending or changing their spending habits because they are afraid of what's going to happen, especially when they start to see some prices go up? And we could see prices for things like fruits and vegetables go up fairly quickly. Do people stop spending, in which case businesses lose confidence and you can start the recessionary process?
Yeah. Michael, thanks so much. I was so glad when you said yes to come on, because you've been through so many of these incredible economic moments in our modern history. We appreciate the time.
Happy to join you.